You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us every Friday at noon Mountain Time for our Locker Room live show. Started off as a mailbag. It's more just a live show. Had folks getting up this week. We talked about ratings. We talked about like who's really stepped up. We've talked about all these type of things. So it will continue into the second round matchup against the Phoenix Suns. Join us.
I love that. I love that format, man. It's really cool how people can hop on and talk with us.
Yeah, it's really cool being able to connect with you guys. Had 60 folks in last Friday. Come on in and join us on Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. On today's episode, Adam and I will get you set for the second round matchup versus the Phoenix Suns. We'll break down what our big takeaways are for this series. Then in the second segment, we're going to do pressure points in terms of if things go one way, it will lean Denver. If things go another, it will lean Phoenix. I'm going to go ahead and spoil this for you. Shooting variance is always the most important pressure point. We'll cover that, but a lot more in detail. And then the third segment, we're going to take a look around the rest of the bracket, in particular in the Western Conference, as the second round is set between the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers, who, you know, it's cool that the two teams of the Nuggets came back from 3-1, get to have a anti-choke off in the other side of the bracket. We'll talk about that in the last segment. But first, Adam Mahrez, you know, do you do predictions? Like, have you done a prediction already on DMVR?
Not for this. This will be a debut prediction. But last round, I did have Nuggets in six. And I'm ready to give a prediction for this game as well, or for this series as well.
I don't like waiting on these things because it's like you wait till the very end and then you do the pick.
Okay, you want to do it right away?
Let's do it right up front and then we'll reverse engineer it.
Okay, I like it. You want me to go first?
Of course I want you to go first.
Nuggets in seven, baby. Let's go. Nuggets in seven.
All right. All right. I will take Nuggets in six.
Okay. Home closeout.
Yeah, the home closeout. Look, if they manage to beat one team in less than seven games, I believe they can do it again.
Man, so let's kind of reverse a six game series, not seven game. That would be nice.
Right, there you go. So I think the concern going into these kind of things is always like up front, you have to be worried about, okay, am I overreacting the last series, right? Like I didn't think they could beat Portland. And they played so well. They didn't just beat Portland. They beat them in six. They didn't even need the full seven and won comfortably in game six. And won a few of those games, like some of them were close for sure. That game five, absolutely. But in general, like the Nuggets thoroughly outplayed them. And so there's always that over adjustment in the next series. And you want to be wary of that.
Totally.
You know, I can make the argument for the Suns, which is, Jokic outright admitted this weekend that DeAndre Ayton is a player, he said, that gives him the most trouble for whatever reason. Like he just really respects DeAndre Ayton, which I think is cool for a young guy. Ayton is kind of the combination of like, he's springy, but not thin. So he's big and he's athletic and he's got touch and he works really hard. Like that's, I think has been the most impressive thing about Ayton this year is that, instead of just like soaking up numbers, like Ayton has genuinely tried to become a smarter, better player. The curve, I think, on the Suns is pretty steep. You got Chris Paul, you got Devin Booker, you got Jay Crowder, you got Dario Saric. This is a veteran team, and it'd be very easy for Ayton to be the one that's just like everyone's like, right? With like Wiseman in Golden State. Right.
Totally. I think that's a really good comp.
And the fact that Ayton, you know, has a couple more years under him, but also just like he has risen his game to that level. And like, you know, he does what Chris Paul tells him to do, which is like, that'll take you pretty far.
I want to, on this point though, I think Ayton might be the first disciple of Jokic. And what I mean by like, I think Jokic will be very influential on the league and already has been, like you see some of the styles, but I think Ayton might be the first player that's been like, you know who I want to be like? Jokic. Because I think there's a world, an alternate world where Ayton comes in and maybe he aspires to be, DeMarcus Cousins or just some other great center that's come before, or even Karl Anthony Towns. Like, I'm going to really get that 3-point shot going or this or that. But Ayton, what's impressive about him is he seems focused on efficiency and focused on doing his job, as you were kind of referencing. And it's, you look at the numbers, you might confuse him for a lesser player, but he's actually becoming, I think, a high impact player.
He sets a great screen, which I always love in a big man. I love a big that sets a great screen. That's important if you're going to run pick and roll, and that helps Chris Paul. Like, if you set a good screen for Chris Paul, good things are going to happen. You know, they have shooting. Malone, I wanted to kind of ask him about the differences between Portland and Phoenix in terms of, he felt so pressured to keep shooters on the floor. And you can tell that Malone's basic takeaway was like, yeah, no, we still have to keep shooters on the floor. We just have to play a lot better defense because their defense is a lot better. Like, he has a lot of respect for the Suns, and he clearly thinks that they're like very good in
they
terms
are,
of
man.
Being a complete team.
They are.
And they've been impressive. Yeah. They've been one of the better teams in terms of their performance. I tracked all year versus the top teams in the league. They were the best team versus right. the best teams.
Right.
And that's going to take you pretty far. So give me your broad strokes reason why you lean towards Nuggets in this matchup.
Full disclosure, I don't like picking against the Nuggets, and I've done it before in the past where they just surprise you. And I think that's the thing. Like, part of this is we take the small sample, or we look at, okay, what can't Denver do, this or that. But then you step back and take the big sample and go, we are 6 playoff series into the Jokic era. They're 4-2. They've been underdogs in a handful of them, or at least even value, and they keep winning. So I look at this and I go, okay, the Lakers, they were better than them. You know, the first year they were in the playoffs, they lose to Portland. And I can look at that one and go, okay, I see a young team. I see they almost won that one anyway, despite, you know, playing against the Blazers team that had a veteran CJ, a veteran Dame. They came this close to getting it. So I look at it and I go, beating Denver in the playoffs, history tells us, is actually really hard. And the key, I think, the fulcrum of the series will be the Ayton Jokic matchup. There's a lot of other things that make up margins, some sizable margins. But I think the series, the most important part of it is the Jokic-Ayton matchup. And as much respect as I have for Ayton, anytime your best player gets to be center stage, I like that.
One of the biggest things about the Suns, their strengths is their versatility. And it was tested versus the Lakers because they couldn't go to the Saric small ball lineups.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see because they can probably get away with those more. And those were very good lineups in the regular season until late when they fell off a cliff. Like, it was very weird. I don't know if just Saric got banged up. That's entirely possible. But like in the beginning of the year, they had this great 1-2 punch where they could beat you big with Ayton and then they could beat you small with Saric. And it got so bad that that's when Frank Kaminsky worked his way into the rotation and is now like a full-time backup center for them. And he even played versus the Lakers, which, like, the fact that they played Frank Kaminsky in a playoff series and survived tells you, one, how tough they are, but two, how banged up the Lakers were by the end of that series. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see if Monty Williams will allow Kaminsky any minutes on Jokic. The fouls, again, I think are going to be a big
deal. I would be so shocked if he tried that at all. I honestly think Ayton will be used the way Nurkic was, which is just a full, until you foul out, you are on every second. Because do you remember, I think it was the third game they played this year. They played them all in a row. I think it was the third one when Ayton did foul out in overtime. And the game ended in 30 seconds of Ayton fouling. Like, a game that went back and forth for, 53 minutes, got to where Ayton fouled out, and all of a sudden it was over in 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's like, the foul stuff is going to be, again, huge in the series.
Yep.
You know, the first time that those two played each other, Jokic just baited him constantly. And Ayton after the game was like, I have a lot to learn. Yeah, like, yeah. He just, it was, and some of it was kind of laced with a little bit of resentment in terms of like, he flopped and got some calls on me, but you could also tell that Ayton was also like, yeah, but I think Ayton was also like, but he was also like really smart. Like, the way that he got me,
totally,
I got to learn how to do that. So that's going to be, I think, a part of this battle. So I looked this up. The Blazers were 2nd in the NBA in 3-pointers made per 100 possessions. The Suns were 13th.
Okay.
So that's still good. But I do think that the Suns are a little bit more balanced. And I think that that takes a little bit of pressure off of Denver, because, like, honestly, that's part of it is that, you know, Denver needed all those threes from Facu Campazzo and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. And Jokic and Austin Rivers. Like that, they needed those, right? Yeah. Versus the Blazers. The Suns are going to make it harder for the Nuggets to score. I will say this, like, this is one where I have to be like, am I being too much of a homer? Like, I just kind of feel like you can't stop the Nuggets offense at this point after what they did versus Portland. And I am fully aware of how miserable Portland's offense was. I'm not expecting a 125 offensive rating, but I think the Nuggets can win small. Like I think it's going to be a dogfight, but I think the Nuggets, especially in clutch time, I just don't think there's going to be enough games. I don't think there will be four games where the Nuggets have a sub 110 offensive rating, which is really what you're going to have to do in order to, I think, to get a win on them is you're going to have to keep them 108, 109. You put Joker out there with damn near anyone. And I'll say this, I go back and forth on that, right? Which is, if I say you put Joker out there with damn near anyone, it's insulting to the guys that have stepped up really big in these playoffs and after Murray went down.
Totally.
Right?
But I think this is Jokic's skill, though. Like, I likened him the other day to a great musician where he could move him around to a different band. He's in a metal band, and all of a sudden you move him over to a jazz band. He's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna alter here. But it's even like that, I would say, with the specific talents. Like, oh, you've got this guy, this violinist that's really good at soloing this very specific type. Like, okay, I'm gonna change my rhythm here to give you a chance to solo. I think, yes, you give the players credits for doing this, but I also think it's part of just what makes Jokic special is he knows this is what players do well. I'm gonna put him in position to do those things.
I think this is a much better Aaron Gordon series. I think this is a series I feel a lot more comfortable with Gordon checking Booker.
That's the secondary matchup for me. Behind Jokic, that's the next like most important one is, does Gordon guard him and can he guard him? Can he stay on him? You know, can they force switches with him getting off?
I'll say this, throughout the regular season and even in the Denver matchup, I did the numbers on both. Booker and the Suns have excelled versus two on ball coverage.
Okay.
Because Booker is tall enough to be able to make those ball reversals. They move the ball really well out of traps. I honestly think this is going to, for me, this is a little bit shocking. I'm a little bit more okay if Jokic plays not quite as aggressive at the level in this one.
Yeah.
I think if you corral, give a little bit of space, I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't need to blitz Devin Booker and Chris Paul. What you need to do is you need to give them just enough space where they're like, okay, I don't have to pass it now, but not enough space that they can actually do anything. You can't drop to where they can just pull up and shoot because they'll kill you with that. And you can't play up so far that they can just reverse it out of it and get all that ball movement on the weak side because they will generate quality threes off of those moves.
That is Denver's base defense with Jokic, is to play him up at the level of the screen, because usually the level of the screen is the three-point line. If you do set the screen higher than the three-point line, like Portland does, Denver would usually leave Jokic at the three-point line, meaning not overextend him. It's just against Portland, that was an adjustment they made. But I'm with you. Chris Paul certainly doesn't present that challenge. And I don't think Devin Booker does either. He doesn't play, as much as he's a great shooter, he doesn't play like Damian Lillard shooting these like pick and roll off the dribble pull up threes from 30 feet. So I'm with you. I think Jokic hangs around. He doesn't really extend further out than that. But, you know, I still think he's going to have a tough job. They're going to try to make him work. They're still going to try to make him play out on the perimeter as much as possible.
Well, and I think part of the big key in this as well is there's just such a fine line between playing up but not too aggressive, but you can't give Booker space, because one thing that Booker is absolutely phenomenal at is he will put the guy in jail and hit short jumpers on him. He's one of the best in the league at it, and like that's especially with a smaller backcourt. We'll see with Gordon, that's one of the reasons I think Gordon probably gets more of a full-time assignment, is because you need that size on him to pressure him. But like Booker this season was 67th percentile, shot 43.4% on medium shots this season on basically like short and on short jumpers. These are short jump shots. Okay. 88th percentile. He shot 53% on short jumpers. That's defined by Synergy as less than 17 feet, but not a layup.
Yeah.
So he likes to get you at that free throw line space, have the defender in jail. And he will, if you sink too far, he will absolutely just blister you. Yeah. So you have to, you got to play up to contain, but you can't blitz him because he's such a good passer out of it. Paul this season, surprisingly, has not been as prolific as you might think as he usually is against those kind of coverages. If you're wondering about the injury situation, I will go ahead and tell you this. I personally, if I were a Nuggets fan, like I would advise Nuggets fans, do not anticipate Chris Paul being anything less than like 90%. Like, I think that he's, I think by the end of that
is meaningful. I mean, the question is like, he is such a great closer. You know, Denver has been a great closing team because they have Jokic and they, you know, they can do this. But if you have a guy that's also great at sort of getting them great shots in the final 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is, then you're in trouble. But if he's 90% of that, that takes a little of that late game closing off, I think.
I think Aaron Gordon's athleticism is going to be important in this series. If you're wondering, you may be wondering like, okay, but like who's going to match up with who? And did Malone say anything about it? I'll just go ahead and tell you, Malone will never answer those questions. I've tried before. Some coaches will not want to say it outright, but if you're like, if you set it up the right way, we'll give you like a wink and a nod and like, you know, you and me, you know, right? Malone's not like that. Malone is just like flatly, we'll always redirect to, you know, we'll show him a lot of coverages. He's a great player. Like he will never tip the hand.
I think that's true, though, to be honest with you. I think that they will show him a lot of coverage. Like they did with Damian Lillard.
Yeah. No, when my point here is more just like in terms of if I wanted to get the answer, will Aaron Gordon's first assignment in game one be on Devin Booker? He would never give me an answer yes or no, right? Yeah. I do think that Gordon spends the majority of the time on Booker. I think that Bridges and Porter are going to be, that's the Powell.
Okay.
MPJ matchup from last round. I think like Faku obviously gets Chris Paul. That's pretty clear. And then Monte Morris probably on Crowder. Right. And you just, you know, or Austin Rivers, sorry, Austin in the starting Rivers, unit.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers will be on Crowder. I think they'll probably change it up and they'll show Paul some Faku and some Rivers and just alternate those guys. That's kind of like my expectation for it. So you had the biggest one being, I'm with you in that the best player in the series is Nikola Jokic. That's a pretty good reason to take them. Aaron Gordon being a good counter to Booker is a pretty good reason to take them. What's the third big, not wanting to underestimate the Nuggets and them always kind of like surprising us comes out. Yeah. That's a good reason to take them. Is there another reason before we go to break to take the Nuggets in the series?
Denver struggles against really good defensive teams. And I think they're really good against good offensive teams, bad or mediocre defensive teams. And Phoenix was good this year defensively, but they weren't good post All-Star break. I think 21st rated defensive rating since the All-Star break. I don't know if that's just sample size or, you know, randomness or whatever, but my question is going to be just, can they defend at a high level? And between Ayton, I think Ayton fouls out of at least one game. I think Denver has really learned something about getting Jokic on the move and how difficult that is for bigs to guard without fouling when you basically guarding a big who's coming off of cuts and putting the ball on the floor and spinning and all this. So yeah, all of those combos, like how do they defend without Ayton? And even with Ayton, are they the team pre All-Star break that was a top five defense in the NBA? Or are they the team post All-Star break that was a bottom 10? We'll find out.
The Suns' base defense in this series, or just for the entire year, what they like to do, they run two types of coverage the most in pick and roll situations. They switch, which not great versus Nikola.
They did that against Denver a lot. Jokic was posting up random dudes a lot in those games.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one is they just play traditional drop. And that's probably what they'll wind up going to more is they know that if they switch that Denver's, that Jokic is the biggest thing is that I think with Monte playing better and with Will coming back, and we'll talk about that in the second segment, that they'll have to be aware of Jokic can go back to, oh, I have a smaller dude on me. All right, I'm going to make him the, I'm going to force him to play big coverage and pick and roll. And that gets into to tough situations. So they're very good about manipulating that. I think this will be a tough series. I think the Suns are very good. I expect the Suns to win game one. I'll note that. But I do think that
old prediction seems that they always lose game one.
Yeah. Ultimately, they won game one versus Portland 2019.
That was the last time they won a game one.
Didn't they win? They won Utah game one, didn't they?
Oh, actually, they did. You're right. They did win Utah game one. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. So they win some game ones.
They win some.
They usually just don't. They usually don't win the game sixes. That was the big. I guess no, because they did, because they beat them twice in the 3-1 comes back. But yeah. So like, I just think I am with you on the resilient thing. Like I'm writing about this tonight for Action Network. Just if we talk about the idea of the playoffs as puzzles that you have to solve, Denver has yet to show me a puzzle that they can't solve that doesn't involve Anthony Davis. Like
I would just say the Lakers in general, but yeah. I mean, I put that this out online after the Portland series that if you just go through all the series, Denver matched up with one, when they're going up against a team with one big, no matter how good that big is, Denver has won the series. You go up against a team that has multiple bigs, Denver's lost. I mean, that's the Lakers. So I look at this one and I go Ayton and then Kaminsky. Okay, that's one big. Now, maybe that big has a great series. I mean, Ayton's really coming along. Maybe he does it. But to me, Ayton defending Jokic to the level that it would take for Phoenix to really slow Denver. If he does that, he's going to be elevated to like top four center in the NBA. So this is going to be a big opportunity for him.
Take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about Will Barton. We'll talk about some more about the series. We'll go into the pressure points about who is going to decide if who comes out of the series. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, you're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for candidates that must have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked, L-O-C-K-E-D. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked, Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, also, sorry, I got one more for you. Built Bar. Let's do Built Bar too. Built Bar is delicious. It's nutritious. It's so good for you. It's absolutely awesome. And there's so many flavors, Adam. There's 9 flavors. Coconut, coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. I ran out of my raspberry bars. I'm going on a flight tomorrow. Wish me luck. Very nervous about getting on a plane.
I got a new sample package. Was it cricket? What is it? Cricket or...
Grasshopper
mint.
Grasshopper.
Yeah.
Grasshopper. Yeah, it's got mint, so I immediately threw it in the trash. But the rest of them are delicious, and they're amazing. I'm taking some peanut butter brownies on my flight tomorrow. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. You can get that raspberry or that mint one if you must. Whatever you like. At BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. All right, Adam, so we got some pressure points we want to talk about. Here's one pressure point. The Nuggets are might going to be a little bit healthier. So I think it was Kyle Fredrickson that asked the other day on the updates on the staff. So Barton and Dozier went through partial practice on Saturday. Malone said that Barton's status has not been updated for game one. I do not have the latest notes in front of me.
Notes today that said he's out. So
okay. So right now he's listed as out. I would not be surprised if like the report comes out in the morning that he's questionable, but let's go ahead and assume for game one he's out.
Okay.
It sounds like Barton is closer. Surprisingly, I thought Dozier was probably like a no-go the entire second round. Malone did make it sound like it was conceivable to see Dozier at some point this series.
He actually made it. I thought when I heard it, it made it sound like he was not far behind Barton. I can't remember the language he used, but it's like, you know, Barton will be back first and Dozier not far behind him or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I had heard and Mike Singer had reported that Barton was targeting a return in the middle of the last series, right? There are setbacks. It's day by day. Malone kind of intimated that it's like frustrating. And I will say this, like Barton's body has never responded the way that he wants to injury. He's always like, I'm going to be back. And then like the body just won't go. It's just his injury just won't heal and he just can't go. But the fact that they're doing partial practice, that's pretty encouraging to me. Like once you are actually doing basketball activities, the gap from there to actually playing in a playoff environment, it's notable, but it's not huge. So I think there's a chance that Barton comes back. I think you said this before. I think he's obviously got to come off the bench. Your starter's been doing too well. I think he takes Marcus Howard's spot. You ease him in. If he plays well, he plays more, et cetera. Like you got to play the long game in this series and you want Barton by the end of it. Cause maybe he can swing things later as he gets his legs under him. If there's like one pressure point on Denver, let's start with Denver side. Can you think of a pressure point on Denver that Phoenix is going to try and exploit or try and very much swing their way?
You know, I'm curious. I don't know that I have like a one off the top of my head. I think the bench becomes interesting. You know, Denver's bench obviously got the better of Portland in some key games. Phoenix has, I think, the best. Their bench had the best raw plus minus this season, so they have a very competent bench. Those minutes will be interesting. Like, you know, so much of that last series was Denver trying to wear down Portland starters, get them in foul trouble, this or that, and then, you know, tsunami at the end. That might not work against Phoenix this way. So because their bench is competent, you might not be able to stay afloat that way.
Yeah, I think the bench is absolutely the one that you got to target. Like if the Nuggets lose, I think the Nuggets can win the starting unit because of Jokic. I think losing the bench minutes, we saw today, did you see the numbers I posted about Doncic?
No.
Okay, so in that Mavericks series versus the Clippers, the Mavericks, when Luka Doncic was on the floor, were plus seven. They outscored him by 7 points.
Oh, I did see this one. Yeah. Yeah.
When Doncic sat down for just 55 minutes, the Mavericks were outscored by 43 points.
Yeah.
It's wild. So, I mean, look, this is honestly where the Nuggets are at because you can't really stagger. The bench units with MPJ have not been awesome. They haven't been great.
Really?
I don't think so.
I would have guessed they were fantastic. I thought they were good. I mean, that's where he gets most aggressive. You know, but we'll see. We'll see. That Phoenix just has a good bench though in general. So even this series might be a little bit different. But I would guess that they were very good.
Campaign is really good.
Is he?
He's been great for them. Yeah.
I mean, I know he was great in that last series. He's the one that I'm really curious to see how he handles this next one. And I'll tell you what, I was looking at matchups and just thinking like, okay, Booker, Rivers, like, oh, that's interesting. I feel okay about that. I mean, Booker's really good. He might torch him, but I don't know. And then I was thinking Faku and Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul kind of took it to Faku in one of the matchups. Faku does a good job, I think, of adjusting, but I wonder if there's almost, you play Monte Morris. He had such success with Monte Morris playing later, you know, in games five and game six with the starting unit a lot, even closing. And I wonder if Faku might be better against Cameron Payne so that you end up staggering those minutes so that Faku's against Cam Payne a lot, because veterans, I think, handle Faku's antics. Young players don't. And Cam Payne is still very much a young player, even though he's been in the league for a while, that he's just now starting to get the high minute volume. And I could see Faku having a nice impact on him.
That'll be interesting. I wonder how much they'll face each other with. I mean, I don't know really where Campazzo's role like where he's, I guess, does it like reset to where he plays the majority of the minutes again? Because like he played less and less as the last series went on. I don't know. I think that
the real question
that is a real question. And I think it's like an interesting one of trying to figure out those kind of things. I am looking at this. Here's a weird one. In the playoffs, MPJ and Jokic were actually had a negative net rating.
Yeah.
And MPJ without Jokic had a plus 12.8.
Yeah, so I was going to say, he's great with the bench.
On a team level, that worked. Let me look at his individual numbers. And you're right. Yeah, you were absolutely right. So he scored, I'm looking at per game. I need to look at per 36. Adam was right again.
Well, some of this obviously has to do with who you're going up against. I put this on Twitter the other day. The control was really Damian Lillard and Nurkic together. Like those guys, they won the minutes with those two. So if you were going up against those two, your plus minus was going to be bad.
Yeah, Porter shot 57% from the field and 46% from three, and hit all his free throws with Jokic off the floor. Per 36, he averaged 29 points and 6 rebounds.
Wow,
so not bad. Yeah. Per 36. Now it's only 59 minutes. He played the majority of it with them, but obviously like a kind of big deal. You know, I think defensively, I'll say the player with the worst plus minus of the rotation guys in the regular season versus Phoenix was Paul Millsap. Millsap really struggled in this matchup. Hmm. And I don't know if that's minutes on him versus Ayton or him versus Saric. I would imagine probably like a 5-out unit would probably give Millsap some trouble. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I thought Millsap and Green did a pretty good job in that last series, but again, the Portland bench was garbage and this one's pretty good. So that'll be like an interesting matchup. I'm curious to see kind of where Torrey Craig fits in.
I know. Like, yeah.
There's a lot of players.
You see Michael Porter's comments today where he said, he kind of talked trash. He poked the bear a little bit. He said, I don't think Torrey Craig's ever beat me in one-on-one. So I kind of liked it.
Well, you don't employ Torrey Craig to be that one. You know, it really was interesting in the last series. Saric only played 33 minutes for that Lakers team because of Andre Drummond and Marc Gasol. This one, I think he has a lot more propensity to play. I'll be very curious about the Saric minutes and if they go 5-out. Like, you know, Saric still played more than Kaminsky. Right. Ayton played a ton. Ayton really did play a lot of minutes. So that's going to be like a question here. Their main rotation is Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, Chris Paul. That's your starters. Campaign, Cam Johnson, Torrey. And that's like your eight.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Phoenix. And then Saric and Kaminsky were kind of spot duty. So I really do think that a lot of this is going to be the Nuggets do have to get Ayton in foul trouble. I do think that's one thing that Jokic is going to need to do. I noticed there are a lot of plays where Ayton surprised Jokic in the regular season by basically like they would be the initial action. And a lot of times if the big doesn't get the ball on the roll or isn't involved in that primary action, they disengage for whatever reason, whether they're just like trying to get out of the way or respacing, or they're more focused on like, rebounding, or they're mad because they didn't get the ball. Ayton did a really good job of hanging out in the dunker spot and then re-engaging when the ball rotated. Like, that was one thing that really kind of surprised me, was the Nuggets would make quality rotations, but then somebody would be just a second late, the Suns would drive, they'd have to help over, and then Ayton would get duck-ins. I will go ahead and say that the primary person in a lot of those, I'll just being totally honest, was Will. That was the main player. When I went back and watched, I was like, oh, there's a lot. I mean, I've always said that Will Barton, I've been captain of the Will Barton is still good team, but Will's closeouts are bad. Like, he doesn't close out well. And that's going to be, I think, an interesting one in the series is, can Rivers and Gordon and MPJ, can everybody rotate cleanly?
Those rotations are also another pressure point for me. Portland was good at this in game one. I think some of this was Denver's defensive scheme lend itself to a lot of those, you know, quick swing around the horns. But Phoenix is just a lot better at doing that than Portland is. And Denver is good at making a first effort, good at making a second effort when they really lock in, but they're not good at making third, fourth, and fifth efforts on rotations.
How much do you think Chris Paul is going to hunt MPJ?
Not that much. Maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't think it would be the smartest strategy, but maybe. You know, Michael Porter, this is funny, and I've actually had some people, you know, with the team that, well, I shouldn't say that. I've had different people that I've talked to just kind of point out, like, I don't really mind when people hunt Michael Porter. Like, you're going to make him look bad from time to time, but he's so tall that he really does disrupt a lot. Like, you think you're going to be able to get him on skates, but then you shoot a step back jumper and he jumps so high, you have to alter your shot. And I think there's something to that.
Like, you have to go back and watch
a good moment. And yeah, it's a momentum changer, but you keep going to it. And I think it's kind of like fouling a 60% free throw shooter. It feels right, because every now and then you get them to go 0-for-2, but in aggregate, they're actually scoring at a better rate than you think.
I think anecdotally, and like, I have to run the numbers, but anecdotally, one of the things I feel like is that it heightens the percentage of times that the play results in a foul. Right, there's a breakdown defensively, and then somebody else has to come over and foul, and that can be difficult, because the Suns are really aggressive and they're tough and physical. What's your biggest concern in this series?
Shooting is always going to be a concern. I thought Denver shot incredibly well in that one. We'll see if they can continue to do it. How Denver gets started in this one. I mean, we joke about the game one thing, but I do think Denver coming out in game one of the Portland series is a, hey, we're not changing anything about us, let's just see what happens. I hate that mentality. And this is one of those series where, I don't think you can punt. Phoenix is just so much better than Portland. You can't punt a game by saying, it's a feel out game or whatever. And then lastly, this is a weird one. Every game is every other day until game seven. That's a concern for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The schedule is going to be tough. Especially, you know, Jokic is already logging big minutes, but look, he's handled it well and he's had 4 days off. So that's the plus there. I'm glad they didn't start the series on Saturday. I thought they might. Yeah. And so I was glad they didn't start early. So you kind of mentioned on the shooting front, who's the biggest shooter on Phoenix that you're kind of worried about?
Well, I mean, Devin Booker, who's absolutely on fire in that first round. I mean, I'm so curious to see if this is the player that he is. And he's just like one of these guys that gets better in the playoffs. We've never seen it, so we don't know. But I'm curious about him. But they just have it all around. I mean, you know, Cam Johnson obviously can shoot. Mikal Bridges can really shoot. I feel like I've never seen Mikal Bridges miss a three. So it's just, I think it's volume, just the number of guys they have.
How do you like the MPJ Bridges matchup?
So I'm so curious if that's who's going to guard him. I don't know if that's who I would have guard Michael Porter. I think it's clear at this point that the thing Michael Porter struggles with more than anything is physicality. And to me, that screams Jay Crowder, maybe throwing Jay Crowder or even Torrey Craig, just trying to get into him and get physical with him. Maybe Mikal Bridges can do that as well. He's similarly sized as Norman Powell, but I thought I didn't realize Norman Powell had it in him to sort of get physical and tough and into him. And so if Mikal Bridges can do that, I would say great. But Jay Crowder, I know, would be a guy that wouldn't mind sort of muscling him around.
Yeah, you can put Bridges on Gordon. That'd be all right. And Bridges could help off. No. The weak side defense is going to be so pivotal in this series, man. Like, it's always important, but everybody's got to be on point with those rotations. Just the Suns are really good about reversing the ball. They are going to run those side pick and rolls. They are going to overload one side. They are going to try and create the middle. Gordon is going to have to be like, Gordon is the biggest difference between those two regular or those three regular season matchups. And now is that he was so good in that Blazers series by the end of it at figuring out the timing on the rotations to get down and stop Nurkic on the short roll and then recover outside of the shooters. Like, his work on that was really important, and he's going to have to be just as good, if not better, in this series, because Ayton's a big target and they are going to have really good shooters on the weak side to contain. Who's the nugget that you think is going to have a sneaky big series?
Sneaky big series. That's a really good question. You know what? I'll say Jamichael Green. I don't think it's probably more important than it has gotten credit for that the Nuggets closed out that series with Michael Porter on the bench and with Jamichael Green in the game. And it's not to say that I think Denver's going to start doing this, but I do wonder if there's just something to, like, we've seen Michael Porter have great starts and not so great finishes. I don't know how many times we've seen Michael Porter. he's coming clutch in terms of like hitting down a big shot or a couple big start of the fourth quarter. He's been great. Hits a big shot in the final minute or this or that off a kick out, obviously in game five. But I wonder if Denver tries out Jermichael Green a little bit more, maybe not to close the game, but maybe you start Michael Porter in the fourth, play him 4 or 5 minutes, take him to the bench and then bring him back with 3 minutes left or 4 minutes left, something like that. They might start doing a rotation. They've done that a little bit. They might start doing it even more pronounced to try to buy as much defense as you can late in the game.
I like how you were one of the most thoughtful and detailed analysts that I know. And in large part, your entry point in the series is like, man, I don't know, but like they're going to figure it out because they got Jokic. Like that's pretty much really is like your take at this point is you're just like, I don't know how, but they're going to do it.
Well, that's how it is. I'm telling you, I think there is, as much as I enjoy trying to predict a series, game one will tell you everything. So there's a lot of this, like we're sitting here. It's the same with the draft. Everybody does all mock drafts and this or that. And then you get to the draft and by the time the lottery's over, you're like, this is nothing like we mocked. And then it's just like, why did we do all that? I feel the same way with these series. There's, here are the things that each team does well. They're interesting. How are each team's going to react? I don't know. We'll find out.
I do have one more stat for you though.
Okay.
The Nuggets were plus 22.9 in net rating with MPJ on the floor versus the Suns this season.
That's awesome.
They outscored him by 22.9 points per 100 possessions. So we'll see how that goes. Let's take a break.
Breakout series, man. I mean, I'm really curious to see how this experience has served him and what his mind frame is in this next round.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the other Western Conference series when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. So you could bet like I did, where today I somehow managed to bet Sixers -4 and lost that. And then at the start of the first quarter, when the Hawks were up huge, I also bet Hawks -4 and I also lost that. Not that I'm bitter. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action, or if you want to bet on that random weirdo fight that was tonight. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams make their run in the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back on Locked On. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how high is the Titans ceiling with Julio Jones? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, Mares. The Los Angeles Clippers valiantly, bravely, with such grit and determination, Kawhi Leonard had a huge game.
Stepping up, he was good, man. He was good. Don't slander Kawhi. We slandered him last year. He stepped up this year in the two final games.
He did. He did. He definitely stepped up versus the freaking Dallas Mavericks. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Is a first round series versus a team that was garbage defensively for most of the year. Team in the
playoffs out west.
Yeah.
Luka
yeah, and they lost.
Tip your hat. Luka really made things hard.
Yeah, they did. But look, Kawhi was amazing in game six and was really good in game seven. So they got out of that series as they should. And now they'll face the Utah Jazz in the other side of the bracket. So the Nuggets have in front of them to make the finals, to continue their streak of going further each season further than the last.
Don't jinx it. I feel like
they have the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
And then they will face either the Utah Jazz, who they beat 3-1 last year, who have Bogdanovich.
I think Jamal Murray played in that game. I vaguely remember him scoring.
Might have been in that series a few times. Or the Los Angeles Clippers, who they beat 3-1. Jamal also played in that series. So, first off, I'm just going to open the floor because I know you have takes. I want to hear your takes on Jazz Clippers.
Here's my take, is that I think Utah is, at this point, far and away the toughest matchup for Denver. They might be the best team all around. Mike Conley injury throws a real wrench in this. Is he really hurt? Is he out? Is he going to play and be effective but reduce role? Like those things are all interesting. But they just have Gobert, who, as much as I like to clown him, you know, he makes Jokic work for it. Like Jokic rises to the occasion, especially when he has his running mate Jamal Murray. But he's like by far the toughest person to defend Jokic. And they have Derek Favors, who might be the second toughest person to defend Jokic. So they have two bodies they can throw at him. So Utah's the toughest one. But I'm so curious to see if the Clippers can knock them off, because that's a real interesting style fight between those two teams. Denver, I put this on Twitter, I think they're underdogs against all three teams, but not that heavy of underdog. There's no Lakers out there that are just like, oh, Taylor made to stop Denver. And I think that's what's kind of exciting. I wonder if Denver gets a little bit of a jolt when they look at that and they go, hey, we know we could beat the Clippers. We know we've beaten Utah, tough as that might be. You know, we know we can beat Phoenix. I wonder if it gives them a little bit of this, you know, intensity. And then you go to the other side of the bracket. James Harden just went down. Joel Embiid has got this meniscus thing going on. Milwaukee kind of looks like the old Milwaukee for at least one game. I wonder if Denver just looks around and goes, man, there's no team out there that looks as unbeatable as there usually is in a typical year.
I like the Clippers a lot in this matchup, and I'm going to take a bunch of shit from Jazz fans because of it. So a lot of it is just,
Conley means a lot to that team.
He does. Let me give you some context on Mike. Mike said after the series versus the Clippers, or I'm sorry, versus the Grizzlies, he talked. He actually talked after that game, which is always a good sign when the player talks after the injury. And he said, it's a repetitive injury, but he said it wasn't as bad as the last time, which wasn't as bad as the first time that kept him out a while. So my expectation is for him to play game one. I'll just go ahead and say that. Like, I think he plays game one. What, you're giving me a face.
I will see. We'll see.
What have you heard stuff?
I'm just saying we'll see. And if he play, I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to play, but look, man, injuries are just such a part of it right now. And even guys, we saw guys go out and try to give it something, but clearly they don't have it. I mean, Anthony Davis, obviously the biggest example of this, but you know, we'll just see. All I've said is all I'm saying is I've heard maybe it is going to be a very impactful injury, whether that means he's out or whether that means he has to play a very reduced role. CBD.
I'll also say, you better knock on wood because after when they got Gordon and they were like absolutely just flying, I was like, I don't want to say it, but like, I'm worried they're going to get injured. And then Jamal goes down and it's like, the window is opening. And just like, let's just hope that, like, honestly, that's one of the advantages of getting eliminated right now is you don't have to worry about any more injuries in this death gauntlet of a season. I like the Clippers a lot in this matchup. Mostly it's a size thing, right? Like, even if Mike plays, it's Conley, Royce O'Neal, slow Bogdanovich, and Ingles, right? Versus Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris.
Even you just rallying these guys off. Like, the Jazz are a significantly better team, but
yeah,
the Clippers do have guys that are just, I mean, like, even tonight, you got the Reggie Jackson game, you got the Marcus Morris game. Those guys made shots. And then it's like, yeah, how do you guard them when you have to stop Paul George and Kawhi? And the other two guys are stepping up to where you kind of have to guard them too.
And Luke Kennard, who had a huge game seven. No, he did. He had a huge game seven. Morris was really big. Morris is one of the players that annoys me the most. It's going to be interesting to see if, so Zoo got played completely off the floor, right? By Luka. Donovan's 6'1" versus Luka's 6'7". So there's like a huge difference there.
Totally.
I'll be curious to know if Lou just goes back and is like, no, we got to have Zubac on the floor to battle Gobert. The problem then is like, you have to play drop again. And as any Jazz analyst will tell you, if you play drop against that team, they murder you. Mm. Like, if you have to bring, because they're so good, Gobert is so good in the pick and roll, you have to tag the roller. If you, like, you need to switch everything. That's how you beat them, is you go 1 through 5 and you switch everything and you go, hey, your best advantage is Rudy Gobert trying to score a bucket on his own that isn't spoon fed to him. Can't do it, right? Like, that's honestly what you do, is you just switch everything. Like, I honestly think they should just start small. If Ibaka's back, that would help. He's still injured, but this is like the series I need Ibaka more than anything. because they just need to switch one through five.
Do you know what the status is on him?
Nope. Just another one of those, like Will, like,
are
should
you
be back.
Me? Yeah. Are you with me that, like, if you're Denver, do you advance past Phoenix? I mean, it's a huge if. Denver's underdogs, and they should be. But if they advance, would you rather see the Clippers or Utah?
It's a good question.
I think it's the Clippers because I think everything always comes down to Jokic, especially without Murray. It just comes down to Jokic. And I think Jokic can put up good numbers against Gobert, but I don't know that he can do it at the level that they would need, because I don't think you're stopping Utah. Utah's going to put up 115 points every night of that series too. So
is it wrong if I just say, like, I feel pretty good about Denver in both situations?
Yeah,
like,
I think that's – you're running a little too hot here. I like it, though. Keep heat checking.
Well, no, I mean, look, this is the thing is, do I expect Donovan to shoot like he did in the bubble last year?
No, that's a good point. Yeah. This is right? The other thing I keep coming back to when you ask me about the Phoenix thing is I go, okay, let's look at what happened in Denver's playoff. Damian Lillard is shooting 50, making 55 points and shooting, literally breaking the NBA record for most threes in a series, and Denver still won, and kind of handily, you know, they won kind of handily. You go back last year, it's like Donovan Mitchell has 2 50-point games. He shoots 20% above his career average from three, and Denver still wins. You got, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George had a bad game seven, but Kawhi Leonard was good the rest of that, and they still win. So I look at this and I go, I don't know. Denver seems to take everyone's best punch and still win a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of it. So, I mean, look, if any team is going to break them in terms of the firepower thing, it's going to be Utah just because they bomb for three. Yeah. Like they have so many good shooters and they shoot so much. There's going to be so many threes in this Clippers Jazz series. Like both these teams just absolutely hoist, you know, like not, they create better looks than Portland did, which isn't saying a lot, but like they just both shoot a ton and the Jazz create like really good rhythm shots. But like, I'll just tell, look, I'm willing to go ahead and say it that. Yeah. I think like, I'll say it. I think Phoenix is the toughest matchup that the Denver Nuggets have between them in the finals.
Alrighty.
If they can get past Phoenix, I'll take them again.
Okay. Well, I like it, man. I like it. I get Nuggets chance. Really excited. It's weird because they simultaneously, it feels like you're playing with house money, but also that they have this A-plus opportunity. And it's a mix of emotions, but I think it's
well, like, again, we talked about this at the beginning, right? It's like, am I overreacting to, like, I picked the Blazers and then they showed me I was wrong. So, like, am I going too far? Like, there's that concern, but I didn't like the Portland matchup because of the amount of, like, the way, because that was the whole thing, right? Is Phoenix and Utah need to generate good threes. Portland didn't. Portland was just going to shoot.
Yeah.
Like they were just going to shoot, you know, and CJ McCollum had a bad series, you know, and that was a lot of it. I feel like with the personnel Denver has defensively, they can do a lot more. I'll say that absolutely. Like, again, as much as I love Gary Harris, having more size in the perimeter is making a big difference for them defensively. Like, I think people are expecting Denver to come in and not play any defense. And I think they play pretty good defense. Portland just shot the lights out because that's what Portland does. Like, you beat Portland by beating up their terrible defense. You beat Phoenix by making their offense bogged down. And I think Denver has the capacity to do that over the course of these 6 to 7 games. All right, that'll wrap it up for Adam Mars and I. I am heading to a beach, just a FYI. I will still be around. I will still be reporting. I have not seen my parents in 18 months. So I'm very excited to see my folks. Great timing going in the second round of the playoffs. May have thought maybe that Denver would be done. Honestly, when I booked this trip, it was the opposite. Is I was like, oh, I can miss it because they're going to be in the conference finals anyway. This is like, I booked it during the Gordon aftermath when it was like, oh, they're going to make the conference finals because they're like the best team in the league now. So lots of twists and turns on this, but I will be around. I'll be watching the game, still providing coverage. Adam will have you with a notebook episode after game one, and then we'll do a show together after game two, and we'll go from there. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow the show on Twitter @LockedOnNuggets. For Adam Mares, I'm Matt Moore. Thank you for joining us on Locked On Nuggets.